Money FM 89.3, the best of the breakfast huddle. The bigger picture, only on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, it's the breakfast huddle. I'm Elliot Danker, Willie King now with the bigger picture. Willie, quite a few things we're looking at. Fed speak, UK's Conservative Party, get ready for October.
Yeah, I mean, you see, Elliot, from last month, we are looking at a month of October where you have the third quarter's earnings seasons. Mm. You have US economic data to pay attention to this week. And a couple of people speaking this week as well. So not just the OPEC, you have the federal officials speaking, and of course UK's Conservative Party conference, which is ongoing right now. So I just want to get more thoughts and insights on the market, and we are inviting Charu Chanana, market strategist of Saxo Capital Markets Singapore. We have here with me. Hello, good morning, Charu.
Hi, good morning, Willie.
Yeah, I mean, we see all the market bought based sell-off, you know, the Fed's and the central banks hike and war against inflation. Tell us, you know, this week, the start of the week, what sort of economic data are you watching for and the impact on the markets?
I think, as you rightly pointed out earlier, you know, more than data, it's, you know, the topic is now actually shifting towards markets and what's happening in UK, certainly, but what other, markets could fall to those kinds of risks. There's also geopolitics to watch, I think, with the Russia situation evolving some more over the weekend. So I think that's on the radar. But if you talk about data specifically, I think we have the payrolls data in the US this Friday. That will be key. You know, I mean, we've seen that the U.S. economy has been holding up pretty well last few weeks. The data that came out last week as well in terms of consumer confidence or in terms of the weekly jobless claims that were actually under 200K this time. This is obviously suggesting that the economy is holding up well. But of course, I think our labor market report is always interesting for the Fed and for the market. So that will be a big focus this week.
Mm. Yep. So if we look at the moving away from the US economic data and, you know, we look somewhere into the UK, we see the sell-off in the sterling, you have the bond yield spiked, and then, of course, you have the Liz Truss tax cuts measure and the BOE's intervention. Just tell us, you know, what's going on in the UK right now?
Okay, sure. So I think for many of, the people that I speak with, it's easy to understand what's happening in the UK if I give the reference of what's happening in Japan as well. Mm. Although the motives are not very similar, you know, the Bank of Japan is trying to buy its bonds because it wants to bring inflation back. But UK's problems are different. I mean, they already have inflation at nearly three times as what we've seen in Japan. So the BOE's plan to begin purchasing these long-dated, bonds was a forced emergency measure to support the pension funds that may be on the verge of a default because of the jump in yields. And this, of course, came from the fiscal concerns that you just mentioned, the tax cuts and the likes, right? So now, of course, we've seen a big impact of that emergency measure on, the sterling and, on the UK assets in general. And the Bank of England, otherwise, you know, in terms of the rate hike, they have not stepped in yet to kind of support the assets. They're still saying that they're going to only take any action at the November meeting. So this central bank bond buying is a band-aid solution. If they continue to buy bonds, we'll see something of the likes of what we've seen on the Japanese yen. So the sterling will be weighed down because of the yield differentials. And if they stop doing that, then you anyway have this economic, credit risk facing the economy, which will again, you know, have a negative impact on the UK assets. So yeah, there's a lot going on. And of course, the focus is completely on what the Bank of England can respond with. But I think the ultimate thing that they need is for the UK government to roll back its policies, really.
Mm. I mean, we see the sterling has been trading about 1.12. The lowest was 1.07. Charu, tell us, do you think that the pound will reach parity with the dollar?
So why the sterling really recovered is basically not a domestic reason. It is more a global reason. And that's because US yields kind of, slowed down towards the end of last week. So the global pressure really came off. And of course, there's been an expectation building that there will be some kind of announcement from the UK authorities in terms of how they want to support these tax cut plans that they have announced. But like I said, I mean, I would really keep my expectations low at this point. You know, even if I look at the Bank of England's market pricing, there's a market pricing of 150 basis points of rate hike for the November 3 meeting. Mm. That is a tall order. And even if we do get that, it will be a big pain for the economy. And if we don't get that, again, that means it will be a negative for the sterling. So yes, I mean, I don't see, I don't even think that parity will be the floor in sterling dollar.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to corporate earnings. So October, it's a time where you have a lot of companies releasing their quarterly results. And of course, you have seen like tech companies making their job cuts and headcount freezes. So, you know, what are the companies and sectors are you looking out for and what can we expect?
I think my biggest fear out of the upcoming quarterly earnings season will be on the margin side. You know, like you mentioned, yeah, we've seen some warnings from Nike, H&M, Apple and the likes. And, you know, as we get into this earnings season, I believe these profit warnings could ramp up. You know, so far until the second quarter earnings season, what was happening is, of course, there's a lot of cost pressure. But the consumers were holding up a lot better as well because of the pandemic era support measures that they had. And so the companies were able to pass on those higher costs to the consumers. Now, you know, with the economic downturn kind of, you know, being a bigger focus now, energy shock kind of translating into a cost of living crisis in most parts of the world, it will get more and more difficult for companies to pass on these extra costs to consumers. So that means that will hit their bottom line, right? I think from a sectoral perspective, if you ask me, of course, tech stocks will likely be battered because of the tight corporate budgets and the higher U.S. yields that we've seen. Semiconductors could also, you know, face a lot of pressure because they are actually a barometer of global economic health. And actually, the second quarter earnings held up quite well because of the oil and gas sector, which could also start to come under a little bit of a pressure because of the lower oil prices in the third quarter.
So, other than earnings, you know, the UK and US economic data, we are also looking at the Reserve Bank of Australia also planning to actually raise hikes. And before that, we are also looking at the house prices also sort of cooling off. What are your thoughts on this?
So the RBA has actually already hinted that they will start to slow down the pace of rate hikes from here. I mean, I think it's a question of whether they go for a 25 or a 50 tomorrow. You know, I think it is not such a bad thing for the RBA to go for 25 because their meetings are more regular than most of the other central banks. And if they do 25 basis points at every meeting, that still counts for a lot, right? But given, you know, the turmoil that we are seeing in the global markets right now and the recent acceleration of the Australian dollar's slide, I think there is also a sense that the window to hike rates is probably going to close so soon. So at this point, and, you know, when the Aussie dollar is already under pressure, I think the policymakers may want to hold off from signaling that, you know, they're giving up on this fight against inflation, even though they're not. But I think this is a pivotal meeting for them. I mean, it's obvious they're going to slow down at some point, but probably I think they might need to push a little bit more in this week at least.
Yeah, I think this is likely to add more pressure on an already weakening property market. Thank you so much, Charu Chanana, Market Strategies of Saxo Capital Markets Singapore.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.